Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The great Warner Wolf used to call it the Fair Poll, and Sims used to work with Warner Wolf back then at WCBS, so maybe that's where it comes from. I know who Warner Wolf is. I don't remember him calling it the Fair Poll or not.
Was Frank Field at the game? You got to be old enough to remember that. That's over yet. He used to show the wrestling, right? Warner would always end his 11 or 11:30 newscast, whatever it was, like the Garden or whatever, any venue. And Frank Field was at the game to show like some bored fan. Like, I think Frank Field was a weatherman or something. He would always drop that at the end.
Yeah, not
if
sure.
You know, you know. It was funny.
Either way, we just played the call before, obviously, with the judge Grand Slam home run. BT and Sal on the fan. Not Grand Slam. What am I talking about? The 3-run homer there. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Ralph is calling from Manhattan. What's up, Ralph?
Hey, what's happening, guys? Yeah, I like Warner, but the Fair Poll is a little stupid. But no offense. But and they're always trying to reinvent the wheel. See, that's the problem. Leave baseball alone and let's get on with it. You know, here's the geniuses that are the managers. Sometimes it astounds me, guys. Now, you have a generational player taking his at-bat. And you have the manager choosing to pitch to that player. The base is open. Everything presents itself for a base on balls. But what does he do? He pitches to the greatest player in base.
Not only that, sorry to cut you off here. I'll let you finish your point. He brings in a guy who judges 2-for-5 off of with 2 home runs. And he pitches to him. Like, that is as idiotic a move as you could make from Snyder.
Sal, it's almost like he's throwing the game. You have to kind of investigate the guy. You have to. Are you sure you want to win this ball game? You know, I'm kidding. And here's the last point on Judge. Well, 2 points quickly. Judge, you know, the greatest player I've seen ever, and I've been around for a while. Ever, I have to say that. But the thing about the clutch thing, I always kind of shun that theory because I think baseball is so different than other games. It's very random on how things are done. And the last thing on Judge that I don't like that he did, the turn to the camera. Yeah, that's all well and good. That's very 2025, but it shows no class. I'd rather have him put his head down and run the base.
Oh, stop, Ralph. The guy plays with as much character and integrity as anybody in the world. Are you kidding me? Going to get on him for that flex?
Yeah, especially, especially when, to your point, Ralph, when everybody's doing that. Like, the Mets do that after every home run that they do. The three guys pose to the camera. Like, I loved what Judge did, and I'm not for, you know, all the theatrics behind it. I understand. I've evolved. I'm open to it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to rip guys. Jazz annoys me sometimes.
Some of those bat flips by Jazz are ridiculous.
Yeah, well, they're absurd. Or the way he, you know, goes to home plate with the steps there, like he's laying a ball up, whatever it may be. Yeah. Vlad's bat flip the other day. Like, beggars can't be choosers. You can't be picky which one you're going to knock. So I don't love all of it, but I actually enjoy judges looking to the camera.
Me too.
Because they let me, like that's what you want. You want that alpha male. You want that leader. You want that guy who's going to go up there and say, okay, everybody's expecting me to hit the home run. I'm going to. The Blue Jays talking smack about us. I'm going to shut them up with my bat and glove. But he did it with his bat and then looks into the camera and does the double take, which I thought was, like, I'm looking at you and then again, like, walking away. No, don't forget. Mm-hmm. Don't sleep on me. I'm the beast. I loved that from Aaron Judge last night.
I loved it. And listen, I've never seen him do that. And they had their whole routine where they go down the whole dugout and then you get to the end and then you look at the camera, whatever you might do. That turn back was definitely symbolic of how we described it. There's no doubt that was by design. You know, and listen, it is 2025, and well, I think it was Batista with Toronto, ironically, years ago with that wild-ass bat.
Yeah.
Okay, that was ridiculous, and I got on him a little bit for that. I, too, have softened, you know, how I really don't even criticize players anymore for doing it. The one thing about Jazz, I think he's chasing that all the time.
Yeah.
Like, these vicious, wild uppercuts, I almost think he's he's doing that so we can do this ridiculous bat flip. But it was a beautiful swing last night, so I'm gonna let it go. But let's not pretend that it's brand new. We all know who started this. It was Reggie in the 70s. I mean, Reggie was pimping in the 70s. He would fling that thing on the dirt after he'd catch one. Just go back on YouTube, watch a Reggie home run. And I, you know, now he was judged differently back then because the 70s, like, you still had, I mean, in the 70s, you had players who played in the late 50s and 60s. It was a totally different world. So people look at this guy and say, what a hot dog. Oh, my God, Reggie Jackson, look at this clown. And it's, we've become desensitized to it a little bit, but it didn't just start out. It started with Reggie in the 70s.
Yeah, but it's not, it was never the way that it is now, where it is now like a big part of the game. Everybody does it. There's always the home run celebrations for the teams, the poses, the Blue Jays with their jacket. Every team's got their thing. The Mariners have that, whatever the hell it is.
The pitchfork for exactly right. Merchant at sea, whatever it is.
Yeah, so like everybody's got their thing. I have no issue with, I do have an issue with Jazz sometimes because he, to me, doesn't play the game the right way. His head is in space. Yeah. I mean, literally yawning on the baseball field, having that mental lapse where he's just not with it, looking like he's out to lunch. And then he hits a home run, and he lets everybody know that he thinks he's the best player in the world. That's my issue with Jazz. But the bat flip in itself, no problem with it. Carl is calling from Shelton, Connecticut. What's up, Carl?
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
All right.
Hey, listen, I got something for both of you. Sal, it's so nice hearing a Mets fan say that Aaron Judge is clutch and that whole narrative in the postseason is completely false. There's a lot of sorry Yankee haters that can't grasp that, you know, that statement. So,
well, look, you
can hear that from you.
You and I appreciate that, Carl. You can hate the Yankees, but you also have to be fair. Like, how would anybody knock Aaron Judge or say that he can't hit in the clutch when we've seen him do it before? He just hasn't done it to the standard he has set. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry, Carl.
I'm just saying there's some people who think that, and they know who they are. So, but love to hear that from you, man. BT, I'm going to the game tonight. Mm-hmm. We got Killer Cam on the mound. I want to get on that plane for game 5. I want to go back to Toronto and get this dub. Let's go, Yankees.
Oh, man, I'm so fired up. And it's an hour earlier, which is good. An hour less that you got to wait. An hour earlier you get to go to bed. 7:08 first pitch. Now, I got a little dilemma here.
What time's Friday, by the way? Do you know?
Well, that's my dilemma. I don't know for sure yet. It's not going to be during the day. Probably 7 or 8, I would guess. So we have a massive, massive 50th birthday party Friday night in Manhattan. It is a big deal.
Yeah.
I don't know. How am I going to go?
You can't. It's game 5.
I understand
this. Who is it? Like, who is it?
It's a good friend in town. It's... I mean, this...
Not a blood relative.
No, it's not a blood relative.
Your friend here. Or your wife's friend or kids' friends? Of, you know.
I coach with him. Both. Both. I coach with him. She's friends with her. Girls are friends. I'm going to have to... I mean, this is going to be a tough discussion. I mean, she got her dress a month ago. I mean, it's like, usually it would be no big deal. Like, I had an issue a couple of years ago. The Knicks played the Heat when the Knicks got eliminated by the Miami Heat. Mm-hmm. We had a big... I remember bringing this up on the air, and we had some sort of function raising money for the schools. I'm like, there's no chance in hell I'm going to this. It's next teeth. There's no chance. You represent the family, and she did. I feel like this is different, but I feel like, and you know, at the end of the day, you know me well enough. Like, when I want to do something, I'm going to pretty much do it. I don't mean to sound like that Neanderthal jerk, because I concede to her, and you know, it's equal, but. This is going to be a tough spot for me here.
Well, we could have the problem solved if the Blue Jays just win tonight.
Yeah, that's not what
Let's
we want.
Jays.
That's
oh,
not
no,
what
okay.
we want. And I don't know if there's going to be a TV at the venue. It's like a big 80s theme. It's going to be such a blast, too. I don't know what I'm going
to
do.
I'm not going to root for the Blue Jays tonight because I hate the Yankees. I just would hate to see you put in a tough predicament. So I want to see the Blue Jays eliminate the Yankees. Then you don't have to worry about it. Jen's happy. Everybody's happy. You come in a good mood on Monday. We're all good to go.
Yeah, or you're probably rooting for them to lose game 5. I make the concession. Then Jen comes home. She's steaming mad at me. And the Yankees lose.
No, trust me. I don't want to watch game 5 either on Friday night. The BT and Sal Show, All the Fan, is presented by your Tri-State Cadillac dealers. Cadillac, the official luxury vehicle of the New York Giants. Mike is in Hazlitt. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. Listen, I'm a diehard Mets fan. I don't understand pitching to Aaron Judge last night. I mean, this is baseball 101. You got the best hitter in baseball, and we're pitching to this guy?
Yep.
Make it make sense for me.
Well, it doesn't make sense. It makes no sense, Mike.
This is the Mets fans. This is the Mets fans World Series. We had them beat. The Yankees were done. We had them out.
Oh,
we had them out.
Mike, you know what it is, though?
And all of a sudden,
Yeah.
Listen, it's part about being, listen, guys, it's about being a Mets fan, right? If we aren't in it, the Yankees got to lose. Now I got to deal with all these guys. I got to deal with all these Yankee fans who had these guys dead to rights last night on social media. The yawning from Chisholm. I can't take it. They just got to get eliminated.
Let me ask you a question here, Mike.
I hear no lies.
Mike, can I ask you a question? Just answer this pertaining to me. Do I bother you as a Yankee fan? Do I shove it in your face?
No.
Okay. So what do you want
Mike,
me
to
do?
Mike, be honest. Be honest. Don't back down.
That's the honest answer.
Be honest.
BT, I'm being honest, right? I like your opinion. I think this is the best on radio right now.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the other Yankee fans. You have to, come on.
I understand, Mike.
It's brutal. Like I said, I had them last night on social media. The guy yawning. Who? Oh, I'm getting off the field. You can't, son. And then the guy hits the home run. I'm like this. Jeez.
I get it. I know. It's a slippery dynamic, man. It really, just like there's great Met fans and there's Met fans who are the worst in the world. I mean, so if the Mets were in this position, you know, I mean, it would be a little unique with my partner, of course, but you know, guys like Evan, you know, Evan doesn't shove it in your face. Evan's been in the trenches from day one.
No,
Evan's firing up the Rico every night. I can tell you, I would not be rooting against the Mets myself. I would not.
It's easy to say that now.
No, I believe. I wouldn't. There's no way I would.
I guarantee you.
I didn't root against the Mets this year.
I guarantee you. You've admitted to rooting against Soto.
That's different than what I said was.
I guarantee you that if roles were reversed and the Yankees were out of the playoffs and the Mets were in and Soto was carrying the Mets through the first couple rounds, I guarantee you. You would be rooting against him. And it's not a knock on you.
No. I don't take it as a knock. Yeah. It's just an inaccurate statement. There's no way. Number one, I would want the Mets to go far because it's good for the station. It's good for business. And it's good for, and you know, it's just good.
Right.
Like, what else do we do? Talk about Aaron Glenn's press conference? Talk about Dable getting fired? I'll take the Mets conversation because I love baseball any day over that. Now, I will grant you this. Like, if the Mets were the Yankees now, say they win the series, they win the NLCS, the Mets get to the World Series, there's a part of me that would be rooting for intense, unfathomable pain at the last moment. But not now. Not now.
Well,
and there's also a massive part of me that would want the true, like the old, like somebody like Beningos. Evan's never seen a Mets World Series. He deserves it. Now, he's not getting it this year. I don't know if he's ever going to get it. But the people, hey, I'm older. I'm more mature. I can rise up. I think the old me would have been petty. I think the mature me, it's just a little more mature.
Maybe.
I'm less concerned about that. I really don't care.
I'm calling BS on that, and I will admit, I want the Yankees out. I don't care about business. I don't care about when anybody, I want them out. It's just how I feel. Maybe I didn't feel like this a year ago. I think the Soto stuff has changed things here.
It's changed a lot. Yeah. I'll give you that. But by the way, what you said about me rooting against Soto, that's absolutely true. But it was always split from the Mets doing well. Like when Soto was drowning, whatever was the first month or two, I was loving it. I'm not going to hide that. That was personal. That was different. But that was separate from the Mets.
Right.
For me, I can't speak for anybody else.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it is a different feeling, too. Like, I never understood the thought from a Yankee fan hating the Mets, because why would you hate the Mets?
I don't.
Basically irrelevant. Well, I'm not just talking about you. I'm talking about in general. Like, feel for everybody. Yankee fans have been ripping the Mets to shreds since Juan Soto was signed. Like, you could say that you weren't. They all are.
Yeah, but where did it start? Where did that dynamic start? The Met fan. And by the way,
Juan Soto was a Yankee.
I know, but I didn't have a problem with this. Yeah. But how did it start? Now, maybe the Yankee fan would have still been antagonistic, but how did it start? The Mets fan, and by the way, I would have done the same thing if I was a Mets fan. I've said this. Taking the laps. And I think the Yankee fan got tired of it.
But I'm sorry, I'm not understanding your point with this. Like, the Mets got the player that they wanted to. I don't care where he came from. Like, it factually happened. The Yankees wanted
a player. I'm not disputing that.
Which has never happened before, where the Yankees wanted a player and the Mets wanted a player and the Mets got him.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't the Mets fan...
I'm not saying that they shouldn't. Right, and I didn't say that in real time. But I'm saying for the Yankee fan, I think, who would want the Met to lose or...
100% they do. The Yankee fans were taking victory laps with the Mets not making the postseason.
I don't hear it as much because I don't do it. I'm not saying it doesn't happen at all.
It does happen.
Did it happen for me?
I mean,
honestly, did it happen for me? I sit next to you every day. Did it happen for me?
Well, we didn't really talk about it on the show.
The answer is no. Yeah. I got on the air. I analyzed what happened. I talked about baseball because that's what we do. And I didn't play that game. I just didn't do it. Others do it. I get it. So that's all good.
Chris is calling from Red Bank. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Chris.
Hey, what's going on, boys?
What's up?
52-year-old diehard. Yankee fan. Just want to spread some positivity. Took my 12-year-old son to his first playoff game last night, and nice. Man, oh man, the stadium was electric last night, boys.
Oh man,
and the emotional roller coaster of a game like that, and then when Judgy hits that home run, everyone hugging police officers, everybody going bananas. But the point I want to make about last night's game and Booney, aside from the challenges, which I didn't agree with, how did you feel about Rosario coming in that early in the game and replacing McMahon? I was a little hesitant, especially early
But they needed offense, Chris. They needed offense there. Booney was firing one of his bullets. It didn't work in that particular bat. Rosario obviously got a base hit the next at bat. You're not losing a ton defensively when you sub in Rosario for McMahon, and you are gaining enough offensively, especially in a spot where you're down and need runs desperately, otherwise you're going home.
Yeah, I don't disagree. One sec there, Chris. I don't disagree, but I did think the play, I thought there was a ball that Rosario missed that McMahon probably gets. And I could also, although yeah. I get the lefty-righty dynamic, I could also make the case that I would rather see Caballero at third base defensively than Rosario just defensively, but it worked out. Definitely.
No, it did work out, and the only thing I want to say, BT, is listen, you know the deal. If the Yanks win tonight, you better send in that envelope for that 50th birthday party.
It's not a wedding, man.
Come on now, let's be serious.
Game five is a tough one.
I can't watch it on my phone. Like, I can.
Yeah, and then even if you're there, you're not going to be watching it the same way.
I don't know if I'll be watching. No, I don't know if it's like a wedding event. I don't know if there's TVs. What I might do, I have to go. What I might do is walk in and then disappear for 3 hours. Just go to a bar next door and watch the game by myself.
That is a
drag
tough
a few
spot.
Dads with me.
Hey, man, life gets rough. In the way. What are you supposed to do?
I hear you.
Now, it doesn't even matter the start time because either way you're going to be impacted by that, whether it's 7
yep.
or 8. All right, BT, it's just, like I said, we could just come together and hope that there is no game five.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I feel like the Yankees are in the driver's seat, and it's just a matter of time before they move on and take on the Seattle Mariners. And by the way, maybe I shouldn't put the Mariners in the ALCS so quickly, but I just feel like that's going to be the case, and I think it'd be a great matchup. But isn't it odd to feel like that? Even last night when it was 6-6, I'm like, this game's over. 6-6, tie game, plenty of time left to go in that game after the fifth inning, whatever it was. And I'm like, this is over. The Yankees are going to win it. And I think the Blue Jays feel that too, BT, which is why I think they're dead in the water.
Oh, man, I wish I felt it the way you felt it. I don't know what Toronto's feeling, but these things, they have a tendency to shift on a dime. I mean, emotionally, you could feel it. Now, there's also times, like sometimes we're selective in what we recall. Like in real time, we felt like it was about to change in the favor of our team, and it doesn't really finish that way.
Sure.
We kind of just we kind of forget about that series. I do believe the Yankees win tonight. Again, like a broken record, I'm worried about playing up there. Not that I don't think that they could win, but they've looked like a different team up there.
Brian is calling from Bridgeport, Connecticut. What's up, Brian?
Hey, Brian.
Hey, guys. How are you? I don't know if you remember me. I was Brian from Bermuda a few months ago. Now, unfortunately, I'm Brian from Bridgeport.
Oh, but, yeah. Well, that's a tough sledding there. You got to get back to Bermuda there, Brian.
Yeah, maybe next year. I got a Yankee point, but before I do that, could I plug a local charity that I'm involved in? It's a very prominent one.
Yes, go ahead.
Thank you very much. I'm the executive officer of the Port 5 National Association of Naval Veterans up here in Bridgeport, Connecticut, and we are hosting our Tunnels to Towers 5K Run Walk event on October 18th. This is our second year doing it. It's a totally grassroots organization, and last year we raised over $85,000.
Nice.
This year I'm at $125,000,
wow.
And it looks like I'm going to hit over 100, maybe close to 140.
Yeah.
It's a full 5K walk run. We have a full party afterwards. I got Sally's Pizza making pizza for 1,000 people. I got Jersey Mike's dropping off 1,000 sandwiches, free everything after the race.
Hey, Brian, do me a favor. Yeah, me a favor. I don't know if you tweet. I love that. First of all, amazing endeavor for a great cause. Have somebody, if you don't do it, send me a DM. It's open with a link and some stuff where people could jump in on that and help contribute. Maybe get you to 200,000. I'm going to help you out with that, but you got to send me a tweet, okay?
Okay. Is that like the X thing? PC?
Yes.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah. Just find somebody who knows it. Yep. Yep.
I will. Okay. I will.
And I know Brian, a big fan of the show, also a big fan of Surfsides. He was drinking some Surfsides. Let me know about that.
Yeah. Bermuda. He better be. Jeez. Come on, man.
Yeah. And Sal, I sent you the email. I was drinking Surfside on the bus. We did the John Vassalone Day parade down in Raritan, New Jersey, a couple weeks ago. He was a Medal of Honor winner from Vietnam. We did from World War II. Our Port 5 Color Guard was down there marching. So
God bless you guys, man, and thank you for your service. All right, what do you got about your Yankees, Bry?
Well, I'm pumped up. I'm like you, Sal. I'm pumped up. And you know, you guys are talking. I'm a huge Mattingly guy, just like BT. I was at game two, and Mattingly hit that home run.
Yep, so was I.
$20 for the ticket. It was $25 face value. I tell you how it was. We were so far up in the left field bleachers that we couldn't see Ruben or Sierra in left field.
Ruben Sierra, yeah. There you go.
But it was great. I got great feeling for tonight. I think we take it tonight, then we go back to Toronto. It's the gritty Yankees that come all the way back from 6-1 down this time, just like they did against the Braves. And Jimmy Larich did pull Wallers. So
yes,
I'm pumped up. I'm ready to go.
Good call.
Thank you, Brian. Good luck with the charity event there.
Send me something.
I appreciate it. I will. I'm going to get on that right now. Thank you very much.
You got it. We will help you out. There's no doubt.
He did email. I'll give you some of the info there.
So you got something?
Yes. Okay, good.
All right. So we want to help out with that. Question for you. Let's say, because there's no way Schlitter's doing what he did the other night. If he does, then he's just a different breed and he's more special than we think he could be. So I do think he pitches well, not quite like that. Let's say I want to give you a specific scenario, and I want you to tell me what you would do if it's Boone, because this is one thing that I think the Yanks will hit. I think Schlitter will be good. What's the bullpen move? Let's say fifth inning, one out, and the Yankees are up 2-1 or 3-2. They're up a run, fairly low scoring game at that point. First and second, and again, this one out. Pitch count is high. He's grinding. You don't love the way he looks. He's a kid. You want to go. You have to go. You think you've got to go to the pen. Who are you calling?
Yeah, it's a great question. I still think probably Cruz in that spot.
In the fifth.
I mean, what are you supposed to do? They did that again last night. He was the first guy out in a trusted spot. Put it this way. You're not going to go to Williams or Bednar that early.
No.
I mean, I guess you can make the case that if you think it's a dire spot, you go to Williams there and just use him for the two innings there. Ooh. And we saw Mendoza do that with Diaz in the final day of the year with the Mets, just trying to keep the score at bay.
We've seen that before. Yeah.
I mean, that wouldn't be that outlandish. I would probably go, assuming it's a righty, like you said, if it's a lefty, Tim Hill, it's an easy call.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a righty, I'm probably going Cruz. I mean, there were really only four pitchers you want to see tonight.
And we know them all.
Yeah, Schlitter, Williams, Bednar, and possibly either Cruz or Hill, depending on the situation.
Warren cannot pitch tonight. Luis Hill cannot get out there tonight.
I wouldn't even go Doval. I'm not running the risk with Doval myself.
You know, I almost forgot about him. But again, he threw well. I'd rather see Doval more so than Warren or Hill. At this point. And there's no way Luke Weaver could pitch tonight. Yeah. Like, Aaron Boone.
He's not going to put him in. He knows
I'm just saying. I mean, but
not in that spot.
I don't think so, but probably not. No, I mean, you'd have a little more wiggle room. I don't even want to see that. I mean, it's 11:30. It's a 7 o'clock game. There's a good chance that Boone's in his car right now listening to the show because I know he listens to the station.
Maybe not during the season.
No, well, depends on the result. Hey, if you lose tomorrow, don't listen, man. If you lose tonight, I mean, don't listen. No, but he's listening possibly. And Aaron, if you're hearing this, there's no way you can let Luke Weaver pitch tonight unless it's a rout.
I'm sure he's pulling over right now to jot this down and make sure he gets hold of that note.
Sal,
right,
if he's got to jot it down, then I'm disappointed that he doesn't already know that. There is no way that he trusts that. They can say what they want, and Weaver can say what he wanted in front of his locker stall. And then he answered like a big boy the other night. Hey, I'm going through some stuff and this and that. He owned it. He wore it. He cannot pitch tonight, period.
Oh, BT and Sal, the fan. Mike is calling from New Haven, Connecticut. What's up, Mike? New Haven, Connecticut.
BP, we win today.
We win today. Yep.
Okay. Where were you watching the game last night? Were you at the stadium?
I was in my living room with the entire family. Yep, all four of us.
I was wondering if you heard the ball ring off that telephone pole.
I didn't hear it. Like, I thought I would hear a little reverberation and all the different camera angles, and I've been watching them all this morning. I did not catch the clank. I didn't hear one. I wanted to.
I know. I wanted to too. But listen, Yankees win today. They know what they need to do. This is going to be unbelievable tonight. I'm going to be inside that stadium. Killer Cam on the mound. And what I want you to do is when you guys go to break, you know that song Killer Cam by Cameron?
Yeah.
Have that song playing all day today when you guys go to break. And Sal, nobody needs to hear your Met things today, this, that, and the other thing. You sit back and you watch tonight because it's going to be unbelievable.
What Met thing have I been saying today, Mike?
Must-see TV.
Mike, what Met thing have I been saying today?
Well, you know how you are, Sal. You're like, if Soto was in the playoffs, it would have been better, this, that, the other.
I didn't say that.
Listen, you always got to comment, Sal.
Mike, it's my job to comment. I'm doing my job. What have I said that's been unfair to the Yankees?
Mike,
what have I said that's been unfair to the Yankees? See, it's guys like that I am going to get on my hands and knees tonight and pray to the sports gods that the Yankees get crushed. I want them out. It is guys like that. I have been nothing but fair to the Yankees. And he's putting words in my mouth, saying things I'm not even talking about. I can't wait till the Yankees get eliminated. Maybe it doesn't happen. I don't think it's going to happen this series, but I will pray to the sports gods. Pray that I don't care if the Mets never win another World Series, as long as the Yankees never win one. That's what I'm going to say to the prayers tonight to the sport. Pretty, pretty please, sports gods, get the Yankees out.
What about the good Yankee fans who aren't called up, pestering you? Come on, what about us?
Those fans I feel good for. Those fans I feel good for.
At the end of the day, that dynamics, that's just going to always be there. It was there in the 80s. It's funny. This plays out on social media now. This plays out on the air. And it's fun, it's interesting, whatever. But this is what we would do in the street, like in the 80s. And again,
well, the 80s, there really wasn't much.
I was coming as the underdog. Not underdog with the first base, but the underdog from a team perspective. Like, this is nothing new to me. It died off for a long time because the Yankees got so amazing and the Mets couldn't. Well, they got there, but they didn't win. And now it's different with Soto and Cohen, but that's what I remember on the streets.
It was weird because growing up, I never hated the Yankees. In the 80s, it was just, and I didn't really know any better. There was no reference point. The Mets were the premier team in town. The Yankees were fine. They had some star players. Like, I liked Mattingly, Winfield, Ricky. Henderson. Yeah, whatever. So it was never hate. And then in the 90s, like, I actually used to live in a world where I thought the Yankees would never win the World Series. That's just how it was for a long time until 1996. And then again in 98, 99, and 2000, we know the history of the Yankees. So it was easier to hate them for having that success. But to me, like, you got to be fair. I think I've been nothing but fair to the Yankees. Matter of fact, I thought they were going to win the division this year. They didn't. I was surprised by that. I thought that they were going to wipe the floor with the Blue Jays this series. They haven't yet, and I think it's going to be that way the next 3 days. But don't call up and put words in my mouth. I didn't bring up the Mets. A caller brought that up before talking about the Mets. The Mets are dead. They're irrelevant. They're out of it. So don't be saying that, you said this, and you always got something. That's disrespectful. I'm not going to tolerate that crap. And for you, our last call, you, not everybody else, not the good Yankee fans, for you, I hope you feel pain tonight when the Yankees get beat.
What did I text you Sunday? Not the part that you don't have to say on the air, but about what you said on Sports Night. About, like, think about how...
Oh, right.
There was two things.
I was saying on Sports Night that...
You thought the Yankees were going to wax them.
Yeah.
Absolutely destroy them.
And that's kind of what you saw last night. Now, also remember, a big reason why the Yankees haven't waxed them, they're starting pitching in their offense. It's not like the Yankees have been kicking the ball over the place or their bullpen hasn't been good. Like, the Yankees' biggest areas of concern or weakness to me have not been a major problem so far throughout the entire postseason.
Game one, Louis Sealed, 2 2/3, 4 hits, 2 runs, 2 home runs. Game two, Freed, 3 innings, 8 hits, 7 runs, 1 home run, and then Rodon with 2 1/3, 6-6-1.
That's MetLife.
Dude, yeah, if you showed me these numbers before the start of the series, I would have thought today was the funeral.
Yeah.
There's no way the Yankees would still be alive after that.
But again, now flip it where the bats are hot and at home. The only question is going to be, can the Yankees go up there and beat the Blue Jays in what's going to be a hostile environment, potentially against a nasty pitcher who they didn't... But again, it's going to be the second time that they see him. They got that machine that they could work on to get a better feel for him. Like, I would feel much... And the Blue Jays are going to be as tight as can be. All the pressure in the world back on them.
Yeah, so I don't... Yeah, it's funny. I believe that sometimes, and then sometimes I don't. And I've got to get a little more evidence tonight to see what Toronto team shows up. Like, if they lose Toronto and it's crisp and they don't look sloppy or overwhelmed or some egregious managing decisions, then I think that they'll be ready and maybe not quite so tight. But if we see a little bit of last night trickle into tonight... I mean, they might be walking into their own house in a body bag, game 5.
It's exactly right.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
A good question.
Three random questions.
Let's find out.
With Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata.
One, two, three.
On The Fan.
All right, three random questions sponsored by the Rothenberg Law Firm. Injured? Visit injurylawyer.com. Here we go, BT. I'll try to tie it into last night's ball game with the Yankees. Okay, yeah. Number one, some of them will, some of them won't. Number one, how long would it take you to eat a full bowl of popcorn in baseball terms, like innings-wise?
I eat like an absolute gavon. I eat way too fast. I eat like a slob. Now, if I'm in the middle of 50,000 people, I'm probably a little more conscious of it.
It could be at home as well.
Yeah. Oh, God, when I'm at home, it's, we've talked about this a little bit. You know, you say how you eat, you want to get back in shape and all that stuff. I eat fairly well, and my motivations are always, like, I try to have a banana, a kale shake, and then obviously meals, but you know what gets me, like, late at night when I've been good all day, then I'm like, pretzels, potato chips here and there, a little candy if the kids have it, and when I do it bad. So I would say it would probably take me, I mean, maybe one full inning, top and bottom. Maybe one and a half, like two. I eat popcorn fast at the movies, and I eat everything fast.
Yeah, so last night, like, I'm trying to eat healthy, like you said, had a good dinner, and I'm like, all right, well, I can't just sit here and watch this game without snacking on anything. And the healthiest snack was popcorn, like unbuttered, natural, whatever, skinny pop popcorn. Throw it in the microwave, 2.5 minutes. Here we go. Get ready, sit down, full bowl by myself, wife in the other room, and I'm just eating it, watching the first inning. And it's gone before the first inning is complete. Not the top half, but just in general, the first inning.
One of those bags that you take out of the microwave.
Full.
Yeah, that's a pretty good size bag.
Yeah, one inning.
You know what, though? That's honestly not bad. Like, that's about my rate, too.
But it's got to last a little bit. Like, if you have popcorn to the movies, you're not eating the entire thing of popcorn in the first 20 minutes of the movie.
No, but I just think that's how I am. I remember, like, my sister on Halloween, just a couple of years older, but she would, like, split up her. We'd come home, right? And you divvy up what you got. Oh, let's see what you got. Also, mom and dad, mom had to make sure there was no razor blades in the apples, God forbid. You remember those days.
Yeah.
And we would sit on the floor in our costumes, and she would divvy it up, like, so systematically, and I would just be devouring Tootsie Rolls and, you know, Twix and stuff. So I've always eaten quick, and I don't have that patience.
All right, similar topic here. This is question number two. Are you familiar with the 999 challenge?
No.
Okay. It is something that the Phillies were doing for their two home games. Probably won't see a game five. So, Hoff, are you familiar with this?
Yes, I am.
Okay. 9 innings.
Yep.
To eat 9 hot dogs and drink 9 beers.
Okay.
How far do you think you could go with that one?
I think I could do the whole thing. I know I can drink 9 beers. I don't drink beer the way I used to.
Me neither. 9 beers.
There's no question I could bang back 9 beers if I wanted to.
Beer an inning seems a bit ambitious at this point.
Maybe you give yourself, listen, you got to go to the bathroom. You make sure you I know I could drink 9 beers. Now, I'm not driving. I'm not going anywhere in public after 9 beers
often. What about the 9 hot dogs?
I think I could do it as well. I really do. I don't want to do this. I would never do this because it's horrible for you. But, I mean, I go back to college when I would drink mostly beer. Like, you know, Jaeger, some shots, like Rumpelmans. But I was mostly a beer guy.
Right.
And then as I got older, it became a little scotch, a little wine, less from the beer. But I do notice that and you've been by my fire pit a few times. Those beers go, when I do it, they go back fast. And I don't think that there's anything, with the exception of maybe pizza, that I can eat faster than hot dogs. I can devour hot dogs.
I'm not sure I can handle this. Hoff, you seem like you might be up for the challenge. Just a hunch.
I would do it. I could do it, but not hot dogs. I'm like allergic to hot dogs. I'm not.
What do you mean allergic to hot dogs?
When I was 4, I had like a really bad experience, and I had way too many, and I got sick. And I just haven't really eaten hot dogs the rest of my whole life. So
you haven't had a hot dog since you were 4?
I've had some when I've had to force myself to eat something.
Force yourself. Oh, no, please. Don't make me eat that hot dog.
I'll take only 2, not 3. if I had to, though, I feel like at this point in my life, I can only go about 6-7 innings on this.
Yeah, I'm not sure I could. I definitely can't do it with the beer. Now, if you change it, and this is not to, you know, endorse Surfside again, but just reality is that's all I drink right now. I could get those down easy. So I would be able to handle 9 Surfsides.
9?
Oh, yeah.
Without, see, the Surfside's more alcohol than beer, right? Beer's about...
No, it's not the same.
Yeah, but
the
is
same.
It really?
But
yeah.
The beer would blow me 9 beers over 9 innings.
I'm not drinking an IPA. You're drinking like a Bud Light, a Coors Light.
Whatever
that.
Sure.
It is.
Not a Belgian beer. No, I know what you're saying, but still.
2.5 hours, let's say 3 hours. You're going to drink 9 beers?
Yeah.
And eat 9 hot dogs?
Well, I mean, not unless I have to, but
I'm just saying the challenge. Roscoe, you think you can handle that 999 challenge?
I can't. I can't handle the beer and the hot dogs. If you gave me 9 Kettle One and clubs, absolutely, and I could down the hot dogs and I could down the hot dogs and the Kettle One and clubs.
Okay, so it could be either the Kettle One and the hot dogs, or maybe the, I guess, beer and something else, or probably not beer with the beer.
No, I can't drink beer like I'm with you guys. I can't drink beer like that anymore.
What about 9 gummies? You can probably handle that at this point, right?
What's that?
9 gummies for you? You good with that?
9 gummies. I mean, forget it. I'll be knocked out 9 for gummies. Days. I don't know if I can do that.
I hear you.
I might need 9 gummies. I never done one, but I might need them to get through.
I'll smoke before I eat those 9 hot dogs, though, and drink the 9 Kettle Ones, and I'll do that and devour maybe another 9 hot dogs after that.
All right, last one here. Who do you think slept more during the game yesterday? Was it Jazz Chisholm or John Smoltz?
You know, Smoltz is starting to annoy me a little bit here. I try not to feed into that stuff. Well, the answer, I would still say Jazz to answer it directly. I mean, that image, if the Yankees would have lost, wow. I mean, that just looked awful, dude. But John Smoltz is now officially an annoyance to me. Number one, he doesn't shut up. All he does is talk. I know that's also, you know, his job to tell us what we're seeing, and I don't doubt his acumen. Man knows baseball as well as anybody in terms of talking it here. But I just really, and I didn't think this about McCarver and Buck. I think he really dislikes the Yankees, and I think it comes out in his commentary.
I don't hear that. I just can't take the monotone delivery. That's a nice pitch. This guy's got good stuff. And this is a playoff game at Yankee Stadium, and this is how he talks. Dude, it's the postseason. Wake up, Smoltzy! Wake up! You're doing a divisional round game at Yankee Stadium, a game where there's a bunch of runs being scored. You say, that's a tough pitch on the corner there. Yeah, I could relate to that because I used to throw the baseball as well. There's zero energy.
The other guy's good. Joe Davis is pretty good. I like Joe.
Even he is a little too sleepy for me on the broadcast. He does football as well.
I know he does.
I think he's good. But where is the, and I'm not saying everybody's got to be Gus or Kevin Harlan.
Gus.
You don't need to be yelling at him, but
Stephon Marbury up the front river.
I mean, like there's high energy, and maybe that could rub people the wrong way. I understand that.
Yep.
But like you can't, he talks like a librarian. He's a broadcaster. You are on the air. You're putting me to sleep. Not to mention the game is a dreadful baseball game being played sloppily. It's taken 4 hours here. Starts at 8 o'clock at night. Like, everybody's half asleep as it is. Just end the damn thing. And Smoltz is droning on in a low monotone way.
You know who I thought was awesome on baseball? And he was on some big Yankee calls back then. I thought Gary Thorne was great.
Yeah, again,
I loved
nice,
his voice.
Nice temperament, good energy. He would good get up energy. For the big moment. He had that famous call on the Mattingly home run.
Hold on!
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm not trying to pick on him as a bro. I think he's knowledgeable, clearly. And I loved him as a player. I'm not getting the Yankee hate thing, but that's different. I'm not a Yankee fan, so maybe I won't hear that the way the Yankee fans would hear that. But I do hear this. No energy. You're on the air. It's the playoffs. Wake up! BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019, the number to call. Let's get back to the calls here, BT. James is calling from Locust Valley. What's up, James?
Jimmy.
How are you guys?
Good.
Thanks for taking my call. I just have an opinion because you guys are going back and forth with the Mets and Yankees. I grew up rooting for both teams. My son is a Yankee fan now, and he roots for both teams. It's disappointing when, you know, Soto goes to the Mets, and then everyone hates each other. They're not rivals. I took my son to a Red Sox game this summer in Fenway Park for the first time because I wanted to show him Fenway. Yeah. It was unfortunately, it was versus the Yankees, and the Red Sox won, right? Mm-hmm. And he's like, man, these Red Sox fans are brutal. I took him now on October 1st to Yankee Stadium when the series tied 1-1 versus the Red Sox, and he goes, yeah, these Yankee fans are awesome. He gave the Red Sox fan back their stuff. But they're rivals. You know, like Mets and Yankees aren't rivals unless they're playing each other. Yeah, it's market share. Who cares? They got Soto. That's what I'm saying. And my second question, I just wanted to bring up Boone, but I want to hear what you have to say.
Go ahead. Well, we'll answer that.
Hit the Boone thing. Go ahead.
right. How does Boone run out of challenges? He takes pitchers out. He did it in Game 7 versus he's the worst with taking starting pitchers out. He took Gerrit Cole at a Game 7 versus Tampa Bay. I called you guys. Last night, he runs out of challenges. I don't even know what inning it was because I was so frustrated.
Early.
It was probably like halfway through the game.
He got no challenges left.
In an elimination game, you know, you can't lose all your challenges. What is he doing? And I think the guy, I forget who it was that slid into second base, because I get Grisham and the other guy confused. Well, I get Grisham and Wells confused. He might have been safe. That's a guy in running in scoring position, up three, and you can't even challenge it. Now, I don't even know if he was safe or out, but you have to leave yourself an option.
And you're not wrong. You're not wrong. I thought the first one, we hit this early in the show. If you guys missed it, free Odyssey app. I'll give you the quick recap. I thought the Rice free play was dumb. Not to mention a horrendous play by Rice and Rodon, a little slow to do his job in cover. I admit, I was confused about the intent versus just touching
on the catcher's mitt. Yeah.
Like, so, and he was, you saw Boone's reaction. He was like, he actually said, what the F are you looking at? Like, yeah. To me, it was so obvious. Like, oh, that's guaranteed they're going to win that challenge. You'll get one more. So I guess I learned a little something last night. If the intent is not fully there, and that's even a little subjective in terms of deciphering, but no, to me, it looked like he was trying to hold up. I don't think he was trying to swing. So if that truly is the rule, I think they got it right. Clearly hit his glove, but I could see, although then again, Boone's supposed to know that. You can also make that point.
Well, it's also the people telling him. Like, he's not watching the replay. They're telling him that you get a challenge at or not. Now, he can say, I'm not challenging it because it's not the big enough spot here, especially after missing the one on the Jimenez when he got hit on his hand.
Yep.
When you miss that, all right, you got to sit back a little bit. You can't be burning both challenges early on as right as you think it may be. And it wasn't, to me, egregious enough to know definitively. Like, you could leave that open to interpretation where, yeah, maybe it nicked the glove, maybe it didn't. Also, was it the intent? And if they didn't know that, then that's on them. Either way, those, to me, weren't spots worthy of burning both your challenges in a postseason game in the fifth inning, whatever it was, third inning.
Would have been a bad look if we're sitting here going over the loss there. Would have been on the checkpoint and the checklist here. I still don't know if we didn't get a lot of replays at the end of the inning. I still don't know, not that it matters, if Wells was safe. I really don't know if he was safe or out.
Yeah, me neither. We didn't get
What do you think, though?
I think he was out.
Hoff, you thought he was safe, right? Wells sliding into second. He said yes earlier.
Yeah, first look, I thought he was out. First look, I thought he was safe. They showed the replay. I thought he was out.
Yeah, either way, it didn't come back to burn him, but let's hopefully they have a couple of replays in their pocket tonight.
And just real quick, as for the fan thing, because we told you we addressed that, like, yeah, that's what happens. I mean, that's what part of being a fan is and going into visiting fan bases. You're a Red Sox fan going to Yankee Stadium, or you're a Yankee fan going to Red Sox, to Fenway Park, or with the Mets and Yankees, and the trash talk with the Mets and Yankees has gotten heightened because Steve Cohen has taken over ownership, and obviously they got Juan Soto from the Yankees. That has brought it to another level where the Mets at least now are in the same ballpark, meaning spending-wise with the New York Yankees, where it has been dominated by the Yankees for so many years.
I don't think you'll ever see the Jet Giant, situation get to this level. Certainly Knicks Nets will not get to this level. And this is not a diss, obviously. If there were a lot more Islander fans, just in terms of sheer volume, I know that they're fervent, they're awesome. Same with the Devils, great fans, smaller fan bases. If they had like a fan base size-wise comparable to the Rangers, that would be the closest thing to Yankees Mets, but there's no doubt. I mean, with the Cohen stuff, with the Soto stuff, it was fairly dormant for a while. It's juiced up, and that's fun.
BT and Sal on the Fan will reset down with the King topic of the day. Of course, it is the Yankees' huge win in Game 3 last night. Can they keep it going tonight in Game 4?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.